listening to Aetherite Radio, Orzea's favorite source for Final Fantasy XIV talk. Part of OrzeaPedia.com's Aetherite Radio Network. Celebrating 1 year of Final Fantasy XIV podcasting, here's your hosts for Aetherite Radio.
Hello and welcome to Aetherite Radio for the month of December 2010. This is last year's show, but we're recording it this year. I'm going to time travel a little bit, talk about all
this
stuff.
We're awesome like that.
Well, we have the capability to. We have this cool time machine, so why not?
We have the technology.
We need a use for it. So joining me today, we have Earthdigger.
Hey.
We have Mason.
What's up?
And we have Vicky.
Hello.
All right. So first, before we get this rolling, you can email us if you want. We don't have any emails this month. I'm used to saying week. This month, we don't have any emails. The roleplay people have been kind of hogging those. So if you have any general emails for the monthly show, send them in, podcast@orzeapedia.com. You can also post feedback in our forums. And you can also hit us up on Twitter at twitter.com/aetherite_radio. So last month, the biggest news, obviously, is Tanaka stepped down as director. That was huge.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff in the forums about those, like people saying, oh, we deserved it, people saying he was just a scapegoat.
I think he was a scapegoat. I think that's exactly what happened. You know, Watto's over there. So how's that 14, that MMO thing going? It's like, oh, it's going to take us a while yet. Okay, cool. So September? No, it's not. Okay, cool. We'll let everyone know September. And then it came out, and it's like, here, Michi, can you come over here? This game, it's not really that good. Why why didn't you spend more time on it? We told you. I don't recall that.
But, well, I feel it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, because a lot of the issues with 14 are a lot of things that were in 11.
But 11 is also 8 years old.
Well, it's things that I get the feeling that were design choices to try and get a feel that the developer wanted.
Gotcha.
You know, like in 11 and in the early stages of 14, it really seemed like they considered it a virtue to figure out how to actually play the game.
Yeah.
Which, as we'll discuss about the interview later, is something that the new director does not think.
Yeah, you know what I think was the big issue is that the genre as a whole had changed, but the developers hadn't. And so they still kind of had this older mind. I mean, 14, 11 has evolved a little bit. Obviously, things are a little more casual now. And when 14, you know, we were starting to get news about that. You know, they had the guild leave system. You know, they're talking about having it be casual friendly. And it's, you know, some of that stuff, you know, okay, yeah, obviously they've learned some stuff here and there. But I think overall something was just, I don't know.
Yeah, the guild leave system is casual friendly. But everything else about the game, not so much.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't necessarily, I personally don't want it to be too casual. Like, what's the, you know, I kind of enjoyed Final Fantasy XI being hard, like, as a game, because mm-hmm. I liked having XP down after dying or whatever. Yeah.
And it's funny, because now they're starting to make some aspects of 11 a lot easier, and now people are like, we want the challenge back. So it's very interesting that, you know, on one hand you have people, I don't want it to be, you know, too easy, we want it to be harder, but they're like, we want people to be able to get into it easy.
You can't please all the people all the time.
Yeah, but you gotta try. So that was a big thing. Earlier last month, we did the first episode of Hails from Hydaelyn. I'm supposed to mention that later, but we'll just mention it now since we're kind of talking about some of the bigger topics.
That was awesome, by the way. Awesome
show. Loved that show. It was a lot of fun. Basically had people call in, ask questions, comments, and everything like that. This topic came up along with several other ones. So if you haven't heard it yet, check it out. I think we're going to start planning out a couple of suggested topics for the next one. I think the player poll is probably going to be in that. We'll get into that in just a minute here.
I have a question. What do you think will actually change with Tanaka coming out of the role that he was in? I mean, within the next half a year, do you think it would have made a difference at all? I mean, is it just an image purely of him being on the
team? I think
it will change.
It depends what they do. I mean, they could have swapped in Naoki Yoshida, who's the new director and producer now. He could have come in and just said, okay, everybody just stop. We're just going to reevaluate this. Or they're like, all right, what was going to be coming up soon? Let's, you know, finish that up, maybe polish it a little more, and then go from there. I don't know what they're doing. If they're just kind of holding off, since now the whole game is, you know, free to play until, you know, otherwise noted.
Since it's a related topic, should we just go into the interview? Because I feel that covers a lot of...
Yeah, I guess we could mention that since it's relevant, yeah.
All right. You're the host.
That's true. You guys are hosts too, though.
We're guest hosts.
Okay. technically, this is my show. But anyway, there was a 4Gamer interview with Naoki... I get the Japanese pronunciations down, and other times I just butcher them. Naoki Yoshida, talking about, you know, a lot of stuff, like, what are your plans, and what it really comes off as saying is, obviously, like, the big thing that I got is that they want the game to be user-friendly. They have the guy that was doing the UI for the new the remake of Tactics Ogre, or Ogre Tactics, whatever that is.
Tactics Ogre
for PSP. He was also the director for 12, and he's working on the UI now. And so, you know, their goal is, and one of the things he said is, you know, you can't have fun in a game unless you can understand it. And he feels that there's a lot of stuff in 14, and he feels that it was warranted for release with the amount of content that it had. But the problem is that it just doesn't feel connected. And so, you know, they need to explain things better, connect things better, which, you know, that very well could be true. I know there's, you know, there's class quests, there's guild leaves, there's, you know, there's crafting, there's something I just had in my head that left.
Missions.
There's something else.
Like the central story stuff.
There's behest. There's stuff like battle regiments. There's the one where you can damage the parts of the mobs.
Incapacitation.
It's a big word. Couldn't remember it. There's stuff like that. And that's especially battle regiments, stuff basically. Like regiments and incapacitation. It's like, I think everybody kind of knows that they're there. But that's...
I think it takes a while sometimes for people to kind of dissect it and see how it works and... You know, like, yeah, with every new MMO, people usually don't discover things by themselves. They would probably go and see how it's done.
Right, and that's what I think they need to do when they start restructuring some of the stuff, is what they could do is, you know, at the beginning, tweak that opening battle or something, have, you know, elements of incapacitation, and then have a little pop-up that says, if you attack, you know, with this weapon or something at this angle or something, you know, like they need to show players, not just be like, okay, it's here. These are the, you know, weapon skills or whatever that'll damage these parts and leave it at that.
Speaking of the opening battle, they need some way for disciplines of hand and land to
play
with it rather than waiting for the NPC to finish it off.
I'll stand here for 2 minutes and throw a rock, and eventually the gal will get annoyed with me and hit it with the axe.
Throw rocks at it!
Daniel quest?
Throwing rocks is a valid battle strategy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, throwing rocks actually does work well once you get wrist flick, in a way. I've used it to run past monsters many times.
You just stun it and run away.
I like to see you do that in real life, just whip a rock.
Play fetch.
See what it does.
Play fetch with the monsters. You like fake throw it and they go off looking for it, but you just, and you just run.
Yeah, I started as
rocks.
A...
Give me like a tennis ball and dog mobs.
I mean, there's no way, you just feel so pathetic getting into a game as a botanist and then like all of a sudden you just can't even, your first gaming experience is literally you trying to throw pebbles at this thing.
It's like, I have a huge axe, I can attack multiple enemies at once, what can you do?
I have an axe too, but it's technically not usable for mobs.
Which always made so much sense, like, okay, botanist, right, you have this hatchet on your back. How do you attack? You throw rocks. Where do you get the rocks from? Who knows? Why don't you use the hatchet on your back? I don't know.
Well, yeah. There was something I was going to get into about the rank 15 battles in Gridania. I'm not going to spoil anything about the plot here, and I don't know if it's the same for the other fights, but you can actually beat the fight without actually doing combat because there's a menu action you can do to support the NPCs.
Huh. I think I remember hearing about that.
I'd like to see the internet get something like that, where, say, you're a blacksmith, and so while the NPCs are fighting, you're quickly given a local leave of sorts to basically get weapons and to make weapons, and then there's a menu action to hand the weapons out to the NPCs, much like you can ward them in the
That's interesting. I could picture like armor, like in the middle of a fight, he's like running around like grabbing at people's armor. He's like, "Stop moving, I need to finish this." Little like Lalafell armor like hanging off the freaking coattail of like a Rogadin or something, like hammer it. That'd be awesome.
And for like miner and botanist, they could probably have ways to debilitate the foe in some way.
Yeah, or botanist could just hand out herbs.
Shirts.
Just be like, "Yeah, I have these herbs here. They'll help you fight.
These will make you feel good, man."
Yeah. I think that's kind of more the venue of alchemists.
It's like, after fighting pixies, these things look like giant glowing mushrooms now. I don't know what's going on. Freaking out, man.
Dude, I swear I can shoot fireballs.
It's because you're a conjurer. Oh.
I was going more for super mushroom fire flower.
That works, too. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in the interview with Yoshida. Both parts are up now on the front page, so make sure to check those out. You know, I initially, when Tanaka had stepped down and they put Yoshida in, I was like, "Who is this guy?" You know, like, okay, he's done like Dragon Quest arcade games. What kind of qualifications does it give him to direct and produce an MMO? But after looking at the interview, it sounds like the guy knows what he's talking about, not just with MMOs, but I think gaming in general. Not to say that Tanaka didn't, but I think Yoshida's a lot more vocal, and I think he's kind of more in tune with this generation. Not to bash Tanaka, but I don't know. I feel a little bit better about everything after reading the interview.
I personally think Tanaka would have been fine if they would have just waited to release the game and like extended the beta like 3 more months.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Tanaka was a bad director. I mean, he's, you know, done 11 for 8 years. It's not know what he's doing.
I just really think that a lot of the issues with 14 were things that were intended, and just the player base did not like them.
That could be.
I mean, he's not even out of a job anyway, so, I mean, he's still working in Square Enix.
Yeah, well, he was already up there as far as his position in Square Enix. He was just in charge of these projects, so.
Oh, well, let's see how the new guy does, I guess.
Yeah, I don't
there's
know.
Nothing it's, we could really...
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what everything is now. It's just wait and see what the new guy does. It's not even... It's like... It's not even like, let's see what the new team... No, it's this guy. This guy.
Yeah, I mean, most of the team is still the same from what I gather, right?
There are some members that
some
just got shifted.
Substitutions,
like, Komodo now is doing... was it design? I can't remember. But he's still on the team. He was the producer originally. Then they brought the new guy in for the UI. I think there might be a couple others that got shifted or replaced. But, I mean, on the back end... You know, all the people doing skinning and all that modeling, whatever. I'm sure those are all the same people. I mean, it's all going to fall on this one guy, especially since he's the director and producer now. And in the interview, it said, you know, there's a mention of, like, how he's going to be able to bring the team together to work together instead of as, like, groups or whatever. I'm like, I part of me is thinking, well, was Tanaka's leadership that bad? You know, because, like, they can say all these things about how, oh, I'm going to do this and this. Well, was Tanaka not doing that? Because, you know, you can almost kind of read those off as, you know, as slaps in the face to Tanaka as, you know, stuff that he was fumbling on or something. But, you know, I don't want to, I can't believe that, you know, a guy who's been in charge of, you know, 11 for so long wouldn't be able to do things that you think would need to be, you know, done like that.
I just want someone to release a tell-all book from Square Enix from their 14 department.
There you go. I'll just sneak over there and plan a device, and we'll get all the audio and video we need.
But. Yeah, but I mean, I'm kind of excited to see the actual, because so far the updates have probably been planned by Tanaka, actually. You know what I mean? Like, so far, but now they're going to be planned by Yoshida, and I want to see what the difference between those are, you know, if there's going to be a perceivable difference in them.
What I would really love to see, and we'll never see it, is when, you know, when the game came out, they said, you know, they have like a 5-year, like, not expectancy, but they have, you know, goals for 5 years. That's like their initial layout. And no matter how vague or whatever that is, I would love to see the original one from Tanaka and to see the one that Yoshida has in mind. To see how they compare. I would love to see that, but probably never going to.
It would have like red pen marks.
He just crosses everything out. Like, Tanaka's plan, it's like, okay, 2011, we'll add this, and Yoshida just crosses all that out and writes like chocobos and airships or something.
Big guns with a Z.
Also with the change in leadership, it was brought up that the PS3 version is going to be delayed. It was supposed to come out in March originally, and now they're waiting because there's, you know, a lot of the things we mentioned, like just being able to understand the game, tutorials and that kind of stuff. They want that figured out before the PS3 launches. Because, I mean, really, the PS3 is their,
I can understand that.
Their second chance to get things right. So they want to make sure that the game is in a good state for that.
Right. I feel like, in a way, it's going to be the real release of 14.
Absolutely, because I think by that point they'll start charging too. They won't be ashamed of the product.
It will give an excuse for another advertisement round, you know.
Not many companies get a second chance at an MMO launch, especially one that messed up quite a bit.
So hopefully the reviewers will, you know, look at it and see how much it's better and kind of, you know.
They'll get a second chance, so that's good because they need it.
I said this when they were releasing the game the first time. They need to put playable Moogles in, then everyone will play.
I don't know. I think everyone.
That sounds like a bad idea.
You would get the expansion pack effect where everybody's playing the new thing, like... You know, expansion comes out with like one new job. Everyone's playing that.
Of course, yeah.
It's like, well, man, I can't. Like, I got a party.
Still, but it's early enough though that if that happened, I don't think that would be too terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I gather, they wanted to release classes as updates, not necessarily as expansion packs.
And I like that. Yeah. I really like that when they originally had said that. But of course, a lot of that stuff, we don't. That could be out the window now. You know, we have all these things that Tanaka and Komodo said previously, and they're not in charge anymore.
Well, so, given the way that the classes work in 14, doing them as updates would actually make sense, because if you did them as expansions, the thing that kept you locked out of them in 11 was that to do the expansions, you had to do the quest in the new areas.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're tied to weapons in 14, what would they do? Just make it so you can't equip a certain weapon if... Yeah. Don't have the expansion equipped.
You know, on that note, what is up with gladiators and daggers?
Oh my gosh, it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
oh, I hate it,
like,
so much
because
I play gladiator.
We're not going to have a dagger class, so let's take our paladin-esque class and let him use daggers too. Like, what?
And like, those are some of the best weapons. It drives me nuts. I just want a big sword and I just want to hit people with it. And they're like, I have a dagger instead.
I can just see it later on. I mean, and hopefully something changes. But I mean, with the game right now, if it kept going, you'd get a class that, uses daggers. So then you have gladiator daggers, and you have, like...
No, I think they'll just be daggers. equipped for the other class as well. Equipable by the other class as well.
But the weapon determines that...
Yeah, the weapon class. Determines
so
your class.
So, like, if you have a dagger and two classes can use it, you put that dagger on, how does it know
which
what's
a... Which class
are you? Maybe a specialized classes from...
Do. You know how when you equip a shield... You get access to additional skills using that shield, right?
Yeah, Sentinel, yeah.
Maybe have two daggers or something.
What if they made it so that there were different gladiator abilities, some of which are used with a sword, some of which are used with a dagger?
Maybe.
Oh, like weapon skills?
I don't know. Like, I know one example that I would have for having, like, with the whole, like, sword dagger thing. You know, I think one of the classes that people were talking about was, like, a fencer or something. Well, that's easy. You know, you could have, like, a rapier or something. You know, all the rapiers are fencer.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, just dagger. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they'll have some kind of class evolution or something later on, and you can choose the path of the dagger or the sword. The
starting swords you can get on Gladiator are so short too. They may as well be daggers. It's very weird.
Yeah, and the stance for holding it too. Like when you have a dagger, it just doesn't look cool. It's a sword stance.
Yeah.
So holding a dagger, it's like, what are you doing?
Next up, we have the player poll. This is a big deal. Technically, it came out on the 1st, and I really, 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 really do not like going back since this is the December show. I know Earth is probably, like, shaking his head after the discussion we had earlier about the New Year's.
Yes, I am.
But this will probably be mentioned on the next episode of Hails from Heidelin. I think the biggest question is going to be whether or not people want to see an overhaul to the game.
What the hell is? What does that mean?
They're just gonna grab everything by the throat,
and slam it down and step on it,
and then get them back up on its feet.
In a couple of months, it could be a totally different game.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to ditch everything. What it does mean is they're asking the players, look, if we have to change a feature of the game that will fundamentally change how the game plays. Would you approve of that? Like,
yeah, but that's not.
I know they probably won't do this, but like, if they change the entire armory system into the sub-job system.
But to me, it's more like, how are you going to change it? You know, that depends on my approval. Like, I would tell you that you could change things if you change things in a way that I approve of. You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't make sense. The question was very weird and vague.
I think it's just kind of asking,
like, your general view on it, though. Like, are you not satisfied with the game? Would you be okay with just, like, new...
Changing it for the worse?
That's really what the poll was basically they're trying to find a direction to go in.
Yeah, they're asking permission to put forth ideas that radically change the game in the future.
They're all in the room, like, what if we took chocobos and gave them, like... armor and had you just like run through mobs or something.
Oh, hey, remember when the game was coming out and they had that picture with the chocobo with the armor on it and they said that it would play, chocobos would play a part in the armory system.
I don't remember that at all.
Anything about that.
I don't remember that.
I remember them saying chocobos would be used differently and everyone was like, how do you use chocobos differently?
They're chocobos
for eating.
Is there a fat chocobo like on the field somewhere I can store my items in?
It would be sweet
well,
to just,
actually,
like,
the
take a lance
was
and ride
like
a
fat chocobo.
Yeah.
For like, food.
Have the chocobo
retainers.
Go with
I want
you,
a fat
and
chocobo.
Then, yeah, you can swap out your stuff on the chocobo.
That was always my question. That when they had the, what was that, in 3? With the fat chocobo, with like the storage, I can't...
Does he eat it?
Yeah, like, where does it go? You have this big, naked bird... with feathers, and you're like, I want you to hold on.
I can think of a few places to stick it.
You can carry around a full inventory full of beds. I mean,
this is true.
I think you just have to imagine that it has bags around it.
Who knows?
It's magic. It's a magical world. Anything gets
feathers are just so thick that you can just
look at the game title. It's Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's not Final Reality.
They're not talking about the setting or the story. They're talking about item storage. That's the real fantasy about it.
Yeah.
Like it's like Dragon Ball Z. Everything just collapses into a little capsule. There you go.
A wizard did it.
But that's all. We'll leave the poll for next month or for the call-in show. This past month was the December update came in two parts. We should probably just get the bigger one out of the way. Item search for the wards, finally.
Yeah.
What do you guys...
Big fan.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that.
It's a nice start, but I think it still needs to be refined a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I just wish you could just search for the item and not have to go through like weird menus to find it. You know what I mean? Like
not everyone's selling things in the proper ward, so I mean...
That's the biggest issue, and this is a problem that I had with everything before, is it still relies on the players selling things where they're encouraged to.
And I mean, not everyone could sell. I mean, like, for example, if I have three robes, so I'm going to go in Taylor's ward, but I also want to sell a couple other things.
Well, you also have access to two retainers now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but there's more than two wards, so you want to sell something everywhere. You're kind of
I've got a couple tradescraft items that I've grown out of that I want to sell, but I've also got my one retainer selling a lot of armor that I've made, and then I've got my other retainer selling various things I've gotten from mining and logging that I don't need anymore.
I just kind of
don't be selfish anymore.
Mm-hmm. I just put my retainer in the place where I'm selling the most expensive thing so that my most expensive thing is taxed less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with just the system as a whole is I don't know how much to sell stuff for. And you know, they're talking with all this talk, the game is casual, friendly, except if you want to, like, actually make money. Because, like, okay, yeah, I could get an idea on how to sell something if I went to search for it and then checked all those retainers to see how much they were selling it for. But that shouldn't have to do that much. I would rather, you know, they're talking about how they, you know, there's not an auction house because they want people to, you know, be able to make, like, deals or something like that where that, you know, they could, you know, find a good bargain or something. But I'd rather have everything just be, like, controllable. Like, I mean, everything's going at a flat rate, so at least you know what to sell it for. So you're not sitting there with, like, you know, some body piece for, you know, weeks because you don't know how much it's selling for.
That's kind of my issue. I have so many things that won't sell, and I look around and, like, some people sell it for 20K more, some are selling for 20K less. It's like, what do I do? No idea.
Right.
Well,
the thing is, I mean, you could go on Yellow Gremlin, actually, and just check, but that's outside the game, so, mm-hmm. I mean, you shouldn't have to do
that. That was my problem, too, and that was, they had started doing their stuff before the search came up, and I'm like, well, that's cool and all, but I shouldn't have to go to, like, a third party for something that mm-hmm. should
it's
be
It's not always reliable,
feature.
Either. Sometimes it's a little off. So
Yeah, some people, it's not instant refresh, you know.
I can see what SE was trying to do. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling they wanted players to, you know, take a look at how difficult the item was to obtain for them, how much other people want it, and figure out a price based on that, you know, really get into the whole market thing. The problem is most players don't want to have to do that, and unfortunately making money is a very big part of any game,
mm-hmm.
and they want an easier way to make money. So... yeah, I don't know.
Has Gil really been an issue for anybody here?
Not yet.
No, but that's because my role-playing thing is that my guy doesn't like to use stuff that he hasn't made himself, so I have no use for money. Because
are you in Best Aid, by the way? You could just pass him over to me. Just saying.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, if you don't need you, Gil.
I applied to Aether, I told you.
Oh yeah,
about that.
That's true. Yeah. That was a while ago.
And
me and my friends just make stuff for each other. So
yeah,
and I mean, and guild leagues provide a decent income. I mean, I have like a million gil and anything.
But
I
the
need.
The problem with that though is because that money from guild leagues is so easily obtainable. That means that prices could go up.
Yeah, that's
on a lot
true.
Of stuff. I mean, you're looking at it almost like an inflation because of that. Because you know, and I'm sure you probably get more gil as you know with the higher ranked leaves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to end up with all these people at the cap that have, you know, nothing better to do than craft, and because they know how much money is out there, well, at least to them, they're going to crank up the price on stuff. And that's, I think, going to be
disaster.
An issue. Yeah.
I can see this, they'll crank up the price, but they'll probably mostly be cranking up the price on higher level items. Because I don't think they're going to crank up the price on
low-level stuff.
When no one's going to pay that much.
Well, yeah, but how do you know what it's going for, though, unless you're sitting there checking every single retainer that has all that stuff?
Well,
I mean, granted, it's easier to do now with the search, but I mean...
If well, something you don't see every day, you're like, oh, someone has it, you buy it, and then you see someone else
and
selling it.
And then immediately after that, you see it for
the NPC price.
Yeah,
I mean,
which is way too.
I don't even sell stuff on my retainer. I just NPC it if I want to get it out of my inventory. I don't even bother with the retainer stuff.
I NPC stuff that I can't see people buying, but I do try to play a role to the community, and I will sell old, outdated armor or common craft ingredients. Like
after you get stuff repaired, that bugs me too. You can't sell something if it's not like in perfect condition. If they want it, let them buy it. Let them worry about repairing it. You can see if it's repaired or not. What's the big?
Maybe it's
a
problem for you.
That was an issue in 14 that they had fixed because there were certain items in the game that had charges, or a certain amount of times you could use it.
You mean in 11?
Yeah, in 11. I'm sorry. And eventually they made it so if it was zero uses left, it was all the text or whatever for it was in red, so you couldn't miss it. Now they have one of the changes that they made. And the December update was they added a nice little kind of, it almost looks like a cell phone signal bar thing where it tells you the condition of the item. You know, I mean, if people like accidentally buy something that's in bad condition, that should be their problem. You know, if you want something, if you should be able to sell it in less than perfect condition. If people really want it, they'll buy it and they'll worry about repairing it.
Yeah, I can't repair everything I wear, so
right, and then that's another step. That's another step to selling stuff. It takes more time to sell it because then
I think I have like five cloth things on my retainer because I can't repair them, and so I'm just kind of waiting for my one friend who can do it to get online, and it's just like, ugh, come on.
You gotta spend money to get it repaired before you can sell it. The whole thing's a mess.
Something I noticed just earlier while doing local leaves is that if a weapon or armor is used as part of a recipe, you can use it at zero. You can put it in the recipe at 0%. The weapons and armor used in local leaves are actually 0%. Then you make it, and then the item you get is 100%. So, if you're like looking to buy a copper scepter to turn it into a decorated copper scepter, the quality of the thing you buy really doesn't matter.
It's like all those FPS games where you like upgrade the gun when it has no ammo in it, and you upgrade it and you get all like full ammo. You're like, excellent. But,
I've never played an FPS game like that.
It's a shame you're missing out. Also, they added repair icons. This is really nice.
Yeah, that is. I like that.
When I first heard about this, I was kind of worried. Because in 11, next to your name on the left, you have your link shell, and the same goes in 14. But if you are looking for party or your, God forbid, a mentor, and you have your mentor thing on, you don't see the link shell icon anymore. Actually just made it, and I was worried that, if you have one of these icons up, that it's just going to replace the link shell. You can only have one up at a time, but you can actually, it'll put it to the left of it, so you can have more than one thing up, which is kind of nice. I like that.
Yeah, I like the fact that you could actually see every little thing instead of it blocking, other important, like your bazaar or something, I don't want the fact that I'm seeking for repairs to block the fact that I'm selling things as well.
Right.
So that's cool.
I just want people to fix stuff. Well, chances are not a lot of people are going to look at you then. So,
I don't know. I'm more interested in looking at people if they need repairs than if they're trying to sell something.
Well, I guess it depends what you're doing too. I mean, I've never been a huge crafter. I like the crafting system in 14 more so than any other MMO I've played. But even after that, I'm still not big on crafting. I think it's just like a mentality you got to get into, and I just can't do it.
Well, it's boring.
I just want to go out and stab stuff,
Yeah, it can be boring at times, but there is the pride in like, I made this myself.
Yeah.
And then I made 50 more of these.
My friends give me stuff. I'm like, no, I could have made that next level. I want to make it. So I just sit there until I make it, even though I break 8 times. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. Also, with the December update, we got some new NMs.
Oh, God.
Have you guys met any of them?
The location of some of them is just terrible.
When I heard about them, I was really upset because a lot of them are, you got to be like rank 50. They're geared towards the current endgame. And I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get there. Like, they're adding all this new content, and unless you've been wasting your... No, I shouldn't say waste your life away, but unless you've committed yourself to the game, you're not going to be able to do the new content, which to me wasn't probably the smartest move because a lot of people right now are trying.
16.
They should be, they should be worried about keeping people in the game right now, and that, the biggest focus on that would be the lower level people. And instead, they're giving all this. They're like, okay, we've got all this cool new content, but you got to be at the cap. And then even then, they drop materials, which I get that they're trying to include the crafting disciplines into the system, really good, really in there. But the the crafting stuff has really annoyed me. Like, there's the NM materials with this update, and then there's the events, the holiday events, where you can, you know, you got a chance at getting, you know, an item or a couple items just, you know, by ringing a bell or something. And then if you want to get the cooler stuff, you have to get materials and get it crafted, and that just annoys me to no end, for for a holiday event.
But you could could get the gift and bring it to a town.
That's still random.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I did that twice, two different towns, and I got the same.
And the thing that sets me off even more is, it's bad enough that you have to, you know, get the materials and get it crafted, but the fact that it's not like an easy low ranked synth is even more ridiculous. Like, I butchered a dream robe after I spent way more than I should have on the mats.
But the fact that it requires Dormouse fur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a low level enemy.
I think the first couple days of that event, people were like, where do we even get Dormouse fur? And I found some, and I paid, I probably paid like 20-30k for like one piece of it, and then I butchered a synth with it.
Well, yeah, they're not completely.
It's a dream robe. Synths. It's not anything game breaking. It's not even anything remotely useful. It just looks neat. Why should
they
it be so hard
a lot
to make?
In synthesis, they'll be like, "Oh, here's a low level synth. It's mostly low level items like hemp and bronze."
And you need like a freaking
piece of
ogre horn or something.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
With all these recipes, it is one item, and it's usually something where logically you could use something entirely different in its place. Like, mm-hmm. Why do I have to use black velveteen? Why can't I just use brown?
Yeah.
Hemp? It looks close enough. Must it be black?
For things like that, you should be able to just swap something else in. I don't know. There's certain synths where it's like, couldn't I use this?
Oh yeah, I don't even mind because it is low level though. I mean, you can't do it at from rank one, but you can do it at like rank 10.
From 10 to 20, I think was for the robe, and then you needed like leather 20 for the feet. And I was 12. I'm like 12 and on Weaver, and I totally butchered. Like it was a terrible synth. Like I started off, and it was just bad. Yeah.
They should
make it so you don't lose the materials or something. Especially, I mean, it's a holiday. It's an event item. It's, you know, it's not giving
it's
you superpowers.
It's supposed to make you happy.
Yeah, it's not supposed to make you frustrated and rage quit like it did with me. I was like, I botched it. I'm like, I just spent like 30k on a Dormouse fur. I'm done. I didn't log in for days. I was so upset.
On the one hand, I understand what you're coming from. On the other hand, you know, it wasn't hard for me to get like three full sets of the crap from Twinkle boxes. So,
well, it all depends on luck too.
Well, yeah, it depends on luck, but the fact remains you didn't need to craft, but it did make crafters feel useful, which is also
and it
something
made crafters get a buck
on,
because there's the people that couldn't get the items from the boxes, and then they're like, oh, this person's selling it, but it's like 100k, but I want it.
I just waited a few days. When I was selling this stuff, most of the other people were selling for 20k.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe people on Bisayet are cheap.
Yep.
But going back to the topic of the NMs, what I'd like to see is I don't want them to do what happened in 11, where all the items that are worth a damn drop off of NMs just straight up.
Yeah,
so crafting is literally worthless.
I was going to ask.
Nowadays, there is nothing you can make with crafting that is worth anything. Even the abjurations are starting to get pushed out. You know, I think there's probably a couple synergy items, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just wondering what you guys thought of open world NMs in the first place. The fact that they're, you know, that you could just go up and kill some NM or hunt them for days, whatever the case may be.
I hate them in principle. There was one other MMO that I played where they were fun and enjoyable, but that's because items were not that big of an upgrade, and you usually out-leveled them a bit. So if you went after those foes, you could have some kick-ass weapons for your level, but you could also just level up a couple times and get better stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't want to see like what happened in 11 when you get something like Leaping Losing. There's like 30 people standing around for like a 2-hour spawn, and one person gets it, doesn't get the drop.
Yeah,
so you're standing
that's what
around
I
like that.
Yeah, fucking
so
me, Deggy. I, Even after they changed the Rare EX, I saw people bot claiming on him. Yeah.
That's what I think I like a lot about Abyssia is, you know, there's like 15-minute respawns on NMs, and I think that's something that they could look at. I mean,
yeah, some of the NMs right now, though, are so poorly placed. Like, there's this ram one, or the sheep one, like, by Nofika's Wells, I think, and it stands in the entrance to that cave, and there are, like, three guild leaves in that cave.
Oh, by the way, do you know that there's a secret way to get into that area, right?
Uh-uh.
Well, it helps to explore.
We ran all the way around. We tried every possible way, disbanding from party, having one person attack while the other one runs in while it's distracted. Like, all of this crap. We tried.
Actually used for wrist flick and stone throw.
Really?
If you had a botanist, you would have been able to get in there.
Quick move,
we were like gladiator and lancer or something.
Why would you think to try and kite something away with a discipline that's geared towards like defense and stuff? That's just that makes no sense. You got to go at it with a botanist.
Yeah, you have to. Just FYI, like
the
way I see it is a
disciple of land or hand. Their goal is to get where they need to do what they need to do. And so, obviously, their only combat skills are ones to get away from the enemy as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got movement speed, and they've got stun. Works for me.
If anybody has that problem, you have to go to, like, the little crag thingy next to it, and you have to get in there, and then there's, like, an underground tunnel that takes you to that one, the one that's blocked. And it's actually there are actually goblins in the way in that underground tunnel, and it takes a while to actually travel there, but once you get there, it's cool. It's like,
yeah, but if you're in a guild leave and you have 30 minutes, I mean,
we did it on the guild leave. It was fun.
They should give you like some kind of immunity to NMs or something during a leave, or to just maybe other mobs in general. Like, if you have leave status, they don't aggro, you can't engage other ones.
Come on. But,
that would make sense.
Speaking of which, King Camp Blue Fog.
Yeah.
What about it?
The only way I've been able to get up there is use movement speed and run up there before I've actually zoned into Blue Fog while I'm still technically in, what's it, Blackwater? Whatever
level 0
ones.
Mm-hmm. Blackbrush?
Blackbrush is the one that's closest, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Technically, I'm still in the zone, so the mobs don't
load
yet.
Yeah, decided, like, the level... Is it level 10 or is it level 1?
What?
The local live that's out there. I can't remember.
There are several out there. And
either way, it's ridiculous, and no one at that level should have to go into that area.
I had one, what was it at? I think it was, like, 9 IVs or something. I had, like, a whole train of buzzards on me. That was interesting.
What I'd like to see them do is, like, all the level 1 and 5 leaves go to your first camp, where you'd go at level 1 for combat. All your level 10 leaves go to the level 10 camp. All the level 20 and 25 leaves go to the level 20 camp.
But God forbid, if you have to craft some boots, you gotta go to, like, Mordona or something.
Yeah, somebody really needs those sandals.
That would make local leaves a lot less annoying.
And a lot more local.
Yeah, no kidding.
The place, it's a pain in the ass because I've got to spend all this time walking, or I've got to spend all my anima.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to go, okay, I'm going to, like, all my stuff is about rank 15 at the moment. I'd like to go, okay, I'm going to pick all these local leaves, all these battle leaves, I'm going to go to Camp Emerald Moss, and I'm going to do all of them.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, I'd like to be able to do that.
This local leave is 2 regions away.
So that's my rant for the day.
There you go. we'll move on into. Did anybody else have anything about Starlight? I know we.
Yeah, did. I hated it. I really don't like all that shenanigans.
I like the snow. I like the snow.
The snow was cool.
I think you picture me dancing in the snow with my Santa Claus outfit on.
as a resident role player here, I just could not explain why in Ulda there's snow.
You know, and here,
it's fake snow just for the town environment.
I have a question for you as a role player. If it's raining in Thanalan, and then you walk into Ulda and it's not raining anymore, what is the reason for that?
Yeah, it's one of those.
That is my biggest peeve.
There's a glass ceiling. No,
of 11 and 14 is there's no raining in cities. There's no heavy weather in cities. Mm-hmm. Are the cities immune? Do they have a weather machine?
Like, all them having snow in the cities, so it's not like they can't.
Yeah, they have snow in the cities, but I don't know. It just, it's one of those little things that you're just like, what the heck, you know?
It's magic to protect the citizens.
No, like, we just kind of overlook that, or, you know, we just don't roleplay as any...
Some things you just gotta let go, because you're like, this is just stupid, we'll just...
Like, it doesn't make any sense, there's no way to really explain it that makes sense.
If so. Yoshida can come in, like, and in like, a couple weeks, be like, we're gonna have it rain in Limsa, I'd be like, you are the best person ever. Because it's one of those things, like, you walk across the bridge to Limsa, and it just magically stops raining. You're like, what?
Yeah, and then you go back out and it's raining, and then you go back in.
Yeah, you just go back and forth a couple times. You're like, hmm. And you look up, like, I don't see, there's not, like, the clouds didn't stop or anything.
Maybe the patron
deity. It's a dome that looks like a sky.
all the city states are actually under a giant glass bubble.
And so then it can fake snow as well, because it's just coming from the ceiling.
There you go.
Yeah, well,
that's why there's not airships yet, because they got to get rid of the giant glass dome surrounding the city states.
Final Fantasy is actually just the MMO version of the Truman Show.
Yeah, so. There you go. I don't know. Starlight was cool. I liked the music that they had.
I liked it at first, but then it was like, okay, I missed the other music.
I think I liked it because it wasn't the Christmas Juno music from 11. Yeah, I think that's really why I liked it.
There was just a lot of people, like a lot of lag and the snow. I don't like it.
Yeah, I had issues with the lag, but...
I don't know. It kind of felt like some of the things they threw in there, too. Like, okay, you go in and you ring a bell and you get stuff, and then you... They actually gave a use to Hamlet's, finally. It's like, there's an NPC that you give the box to. I went to one. Yeah. He's like, oh, thanks. You probably want a reward now. And he gives me it, and he's like, all right, go, like piss off. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I remember this a little while ago.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like they just kind of threw it in there so they would, you know, so we'd have a holiday event. I don't know. I think it could have been done better.
He just travels around the town, like, giving presents to kids or something. I would have liked that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Smilebringer, but better.
A lot of people also took issue with the fact that it's called the same thing. You know what I mean?
I was at first kind of like,
Well,
again? You know what? Ninth year of this?
Chocobos, Dream Robes, they're still a Dream Robe. Starlight.
I mean, in one hand, it's kind of nice to have the similarities, but on the other hand, you're like, really?
That's, different that's universe. The
best you could come up with.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It's because, well, I mean, like, I don't mind it.
Same
director,
but it bugs me. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
Anyway, what bugged me about the event was all the food items, and people still don't really know what food does.
It's like, I got like a dodo or something.
I mean, even if I got all the items to craft it.
Those things are huge. How do you carry one of those?
Raised, and there's some stuff it and have it about for how your stats need to be in a certain range to get optimum benefit from each bit of food. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Food is just way too complicated at 14.
Yeah, has it been explained at all anywhere?
I don't know. Corinth is doing cooking.
No, it hasn't.
They should get on that.
There has been some research done. Let me pull this up. Baxter Mergois from Rabanaster. He's got a bunch of stuff on his Lodestone page. Apparently, one of your elements and one of your stats needs to be within a certain range to get the optimum benefit from each.
That's just making things overly complicated.
Wow. And just give me a meat myth kebab and let's roll.
Right.
My head just exploded.
That probably explains, like, with me, since I'm balanced and thus my physical level is really high, most of the food I eat does absolutely nothing because my stats are already way past the range.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could make the roast dodo, and then I would eat it, and it would do nothing.
Yeah, I know Corinth has been doing cooking, and she gave me She gave me, like, a honey muffin or something. She's like, eat it, see what it does. I'm like, it gave me, like, 3 HP. I'm like, ooh.
Sweet.
3 HP. Yeah, I was like, okay. But, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's one of the things I think they need to go back, like, and look at.
You know, the food would be a lot useful if it wasn't so easy to raise my physical
level. Just did the same for everybody. Don't have to worry. Because, I mean, that's just another thing you have to worry about then. It's like, oh, hold on, I got to reset some points. I need, like, 5 more in a fire so I can eat my dodo and have it do something. Like, that's just, it's just nuts.
Yeah. Well, I think it probably will kick off once people find some high-level recipes where it's like, okay, you're level 50 and all your stats balanced goes to this. And so here's some food where if you've got stuff in this range, it gives a good effect. You know, if they find food that matches that, then it'd probably kick off.
Yeah.
But for the time being, no one really bothers with food.
Yeah. So I guess that'll do it for all the news out of Square. Community news. We already talked about the interview from 4Gamer with Naoki Yoshida. Check that out. It's up on the website. Another bit of community news. There's a Final Fantasy XIV medley available from the Distant Worlds website, which features Twilight Over Thanalan and Beneath Bloodied Banners. So if you like some orchestrated stuff, definitely check that out. It's like $1. It's pretty cheap. Let's see what else we got here. On Orzopedia this month, we have a new thing that we've kind of started up with op-eds called the Suggestion Box. And one of the ones that we brought up was emotional attachment to the world. This was submitted by Midgard Zolom. And he brings up a really, I think, interesting point. And, you know, kind of starts it off with, you know, a simple question. Just name an NPC in the game.
Piss Pirate.
That was just mine. Like anybody else. You took mine.
I just got back. I had everything muted.
And it can't be Sissy Poo.
Oh, God. What's her name?
See? You can't. You don't know. You don't know.
Oh, at Pepsi.
Pepsi?
It is.
Pepsi's a drink, not an NPC.
Well, his name is Oap Pesai.
I know.
I think there's an NPC named, like, Lettuce.
And so he looks like a Pepsi can.
No, there's, like, Uswilga something. It's a rogue day, and I do all my...
Now, if I'd asked you, name an NPC from 11...
Still nothing. I don't really care about them.
I know, like, the story NPCs, but, like...
any NPC...
And I mean, that's what I wanted to get into earlier, was how they say there's a lot more emotional attachment in 11, and that may be so, but that's because it's easier to get into the missions and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think
when you do
with
get
that,
into
though,
the missions in 15, you do get to know the NPCs that you're traveling with.
I don't even know the story.
I don't think it's necessarily the missions, it's that there are more quests available, and it's not because the game's been out for 8 years. I mean, obviously that could be part of it to some people, but there's like NPC quests and stuff. There's like quest lines, you know, involving mm-hmm. certain NPCs.
Well,
and
I'm not so sure that helps, because do you know the name of the NPC that you go trade random food items to in Bastogne Markets? Or the person you trade the rusty buckets to.
But that's the thing.
Celbina. Do you know his name? Do you know why he needs the moss?
Yeah, that's the point.
To raise my fame.
Exactly.
I am famous.
My point is that the NPC quests aren't what makes you have a better emotional attachment. It helps, but really, it's.
Yeah, I don't. I feel the same way.
And the missions, and then you get to know them. And 14 has those as well. The problem is, it's so slow to get into it because, like, you can't do your first class quest until you're level 20. And you know, to me, maybe it's because I'm leveling up all my classes at once, but that's taking forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one at 10 would be nice. Just a, you know, kind of like a beginner newbie type of quest. But yeah, that's true. To me, like the idea that somehow the emotional attachment is equal to the number of names that you can remember is a false
I don't think it's the amount that you can remember. It's, you know, if there's a quest line that you really enjoy that really sucked you in. I mean, not that you had to do it a lot, you know, something like the moss or whatever. But if it's something that you really enjoy,
interesting,
you're gonna remember that, and so far I got nothing. Mm-hmm. Like I love
like,
the piss
you
pirate
play the storylines like one time in 11, you remember those story characters, but honestly, like I remember what the characters in 14 look like, but I don't know their names.
Yeah, I can't remember their name.
And yeah, like I've done the story once, just like I did in 11. You know,
I just feel like there's not as much lore going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of the main reasons I feel a little bit less emotional immersement with 14.
Well, the thing with 11, though, is a lot of the lore was in, like, Japanese books that we never got over here also. Like, 11 was much bigger than you'd notice, and I'm sure 14 has something.
Well, I mean, and they've made a point to kind of address some of it. I know back at Banifest in, was it 2007 in Anaheim? They actually had, because this was right before Wings of the Goddess came out, which is based on the Crystal War before the game technically starts. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a presentation about, you know, what happened like before that and a little bit, you know, during the war. They were talking about how, you know, back in the day, you know, the Taru, like, you know, pretty much ruled the planet, you know, like they were everywhere. And it was really cool to see that. But with 14, it's like, okay, there was a guy, we know there's like a guy that made maps. We know there's like a bestiary guy. The Empire attack.
By the way, do you know that Square Enix didn't even get their numbers right when it comes to how long ago the war took place? I mean, the
Are
Guardians
there inconsistencies?
Attack. Yes.
Oh, man.
To be discussed on Remotely Plausible.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's pretty bad.
How long ago did it? Well, never mind.
It's supposed to be, like, what, 20?
20 years, right? Yeah.
It's supposed to be 15. 15 years back.
I always thought it was 20.
I think that's in 11, no?
Yeah, 20 years was the Crystal War.
Yeah, in
14. Which is kind of funny because technically the in-game clock when that started, it's like way past that. It's like, oh, you're 20 years ago. Not really. More.
Yeah, the in-game clock means nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
If the in-game clock was correct, my character would be dead already.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the in-game clock does affect the seasons.
Does it? How so? Like, what do you mean?
Like, during the summer, there'll be more fire weather. During the spring, there'll be more,
Yeah, but that's that's our spring, Earth's spring, right?
No.
Like, the spring of the game?
Yes.
Huh. I never knew that. That's cool.
I didn't notice that either. So it must not have been that big of a difference.
Yeah, I never pay attention to it, so I didn't see that they had special weather effects for different seasons. But how often does that how often does the season change, and based on in-game clock, like every week?
Oh, that's true. It's a little every an hour's every as a whole day. So
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah, who knows? We could be stuck on this forever.
For the discussion notes.
Yeah. So make sure to go check out that that piece from Midgard Zalem. If you have any other things that anybody out there you want to suggest to us for the suggestion box, drop an op-ed in, and we'll see about getting that up there. Eighth Rate Radio News for December. We had our first episode of Hails from Heidelin. We talked about that already. First call-in show had a pretty good turnout for that. Talked to a lot of people. Second episode hopefully coming up here in a few weeks. I know a lot of people are talking about the poll and the idea of overhauling the game. So we want to try and get that up. A bunch of Remotely Plausible came out in a two-part episode. And there anything you want to add there?
I don't know. We're just having a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Welcome to Remotely Plausible. We hate doing this show. My name is Mason.
And we just rip on each other for the whole show, and people love it.
I think there would actually be people out there that would listen to that, though, which is kind of weird. But
wait, say that again?
I think there might actually be people that would listen to that. Just people like hating on each other for like an hour.
Yeah, of course. Because it's funny, I think. But anyway. Yeah, I came out with a few episodes. There's a couple in the can, too, so it'll be coming out every week.
Very cool. Also, I sat down with Steak and Massively.com's Elliot Lefebvre. I always wondered how to pronounce that name. It's like L-E-F-E-B-V-R-E. I'm like, what is that? How do you...
I heard you just say it, and I'm still not going to try
Lefebvre.
It.
Yeah. I was like, that was like my first question once we were talking. I'm like, how do you pronounce that? But we talked to him, some really interesting topics. Talked about his weekly column over at Massively, the Moglog, which deals with Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV. So definitely make sure to check that out and make sure to check out his column. It goes up every Saturday on Massively.com. Next up, we have the Podcast Awards, the People's Choice 2010. So we didn't win. We were nominated. Which is good, but we didn't win. We do want to thank everybody that nominated us and everybody that voted for us, though. Huge thanks. I mean, without you guys and your support, we wouldn't be doing this show.
Next year,
we're going to take it.
Next year, Opobos. Come on.
We're going to punch all the other nominees in the face, unless it's one of my other shows. And then don't punch PFA in the face.
No, but listen, the fact that we were nominated is amazing for a game that just barely launched. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And it launched poorly and in the eyes of many people, too.
On top of that, I mean, we were going up against podcasts which were just gaming podcasts in general, right?
Yeah.
So, we were a specific game, network podcast versus podcasts that just cover gaming in general. And
I don't even think there wasn't even a WoW show nominated, I don't think, this year.
Yep.
So there was an really? My 11 show and then Aether Radio were up there. I think they were the only two game specific shows, I want to say. I could be mistaken.
You probably would have won if you'd combined them into one.
Yeah,
so I know that a was lot my of people problem. Were splitting up
like,
votes
I'm like,
between
cool.
them.
I both of my shows got nominated. Which one do I tell people to vote for? It's like,
I know I'd vote for PFA 1 week, and then I'd vote one day, and then if I'd combine the votes into one,
I'm wondering. I'm wondering how that would if we would have combined it if we would have won. I don't know.
Who probably knows? Would have. You should do that next year.
Possible. Well, I'll think about it more carefully next year. That'll do it for news. That'll take us into player achievements. We got 10 achievements here. Everybody will be getting that little achievement red gift. I think one person in here is a repeat from last month. I tried not to have repeats. Trying to get as many people on here as we can. So if you haven't submitted achievements before, please do so for January. We want to get try and get different people on if we can. First up, we have Gris. Obtained sheeting training for his armor and got Marauder up to 30, which is pretty cool. James,
should we
got,
clap?
We could clap. I guess.
Yay. All right,
everyone. All right.
Go sheeting training. James got botanist to 40.
Nice. Oh my God, I envy you. That's mind-numbing job.
There's chopping and slicing and rocking.
Have you
the land jobs are difficult.
No, Earthdigger, have you played botanist as a main?
I play everything as a main.
Oh well, that doesn't count then. how far did you get botanist?
13 or 15, I think.
Have you been looking at me? Yes, it's like 13.
Yeah, all right.
It's one of those things where like I'd rather level a discipline of war or something, because it's so boring. Like, oh, I'm gonna go there and tap on a tree for a lead, I don't know.
Yeah, I did botany as a main, literally just doing all the botany leaves only, to like 20, and then I was like, I can't do this. This is impossible.
Yeah, it was just I don't know. Like, I don't know if it has to do with because I don't like crafting, but like I started off really liking the discipline of the land thing, and then it just I don't know. Just kind of grew out of it, I guess.
The fact that there are only like basically two types of leaves, it doesn't matter what location, you basically do two activities.
Yeah, you basically go around and you chop trees. That's it. That's the game for you right now. You chop trees.
Exactly.
Well, to be fair, most of the lower Battlecraft leaves are the same way. You've got two types of leaves. You've got the go out, kill set number of monsters, and
you can do different things to kill the monsters with chopping a tree. All you can do is chop the tree.
You can't
out a chainsaw or something like that. You gotta chop the tree.
Yeah, sometimes on my way to chopping the tree, I would pray to the 12 that there would be a wolf in the way, so at least I could have some distraction.
So you can wrist flick it and run away like a little coward.
Right, like
eat
a
rock.
Highlander coward.
I should just switch to one of my combat jobs and kill it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I had no combat classes at all. I just had botanist. That was fun. But as a type of thing that you do actually like maybe once a week, it's awesome. I've been playing actually war classes and doing mining, so mining once a week is very relaxing.
I could see it being nice to just every once in a while do it, but as a full-time thing, I would go insane.
Yeah, it is nice. And I gotta say, if you're gonna level up a job, that is probably one of the easiest to level up, simply because you can't not make money. Even if you NPC all the crap,
yeah,
you're
absolutely
gonna make money.
Yep.
you know, Disciple of Hand, your stuff might sell for as much as you want to. You might have to sell for less than it costs to make. For Battlecraft, you've got to focus on all those repairs, and you know, you might die. The stuff that you get from the monsters might not sell very well. You might not get anything from a monster.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice too, especially for crafting. I mean, obviously, depending on what you're doing, if, you know, mining, obviously you'd get stuff for doing like blacksmith or armor, or you'd get stuff for weaving or woodworking on botanist, but you also get shards and stuff too, which is really nice. So, I mean, there's definitely benefits to doing it. I just can't see myself doing it as a main, or, you know, one of the things they talked about is being able to play the game through, or, you know, at least feel like you're playing it to a full extent without ever having to kill something. And I just, you can do that, but that's going to be the most boring game in the world.
Yeah, might as well read a book.
Today, I chop trees. I will chop trees. Maybe even slash at some grass.
How is it even possible to do story missions that way? That's just, ugh.
As I mentioned earlier, they offer alternate methods of beating them.
You guys fight this. I'm going to go and start chopping down this tree, and maybe before you guys are done, I can knock the tree down on the enemy.
In the rank 15 quest, you can instead get a award to place on the NPCs. And,
I remember at the level 15, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, what if I was like on my crafting class and didn't have my sword on me? I wouldn't be able to do this fight, and it would be a waste of time. Just like, I just beat these things down.
My highest when I did the rank 15 quest actually was Conjurer. So first time I tried it with combat. And I got my ass kicked really quickly. And then I went, maybe I should pay attention to what the NPC's saying. It's like, here, get this ward, place on our allies, quick, do it. I didn't have to fight at all. But it was still a thrilling fight because, like, sometimes one of the NPCs would have to retreat because he got too damaged and then come after me. So I still had to be on top of my game and, you know, keep these NPCs alive.
It's really cool that they've you know, set it up like that, but at the same time, I don't know. It feels weird.
Anyway, Botanist 40, yay!
Yeah, I think they compress the class quests that you pick up from the guilds, so that, like, as you level up in Botanist, you go along this storyline that's the Botanist storyline, and, you know, that actually feels like a main quest of sorts, and then you have your main quest for Gladiator, and that's a hack and slash combat adventure. You know, if they did that, then that could, you know, do it well, because then you'd have your storylines that you need to fight to go through. You'd have your storylines that you can get through with only crafting.
I'm still waiting for the content where you actually need the land disciplines
to
do something.
I'm curious to see how that works.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really want to see one of those Lalafell armor repairing, like, Rogadin armor. Scenario where he's like hanging off of it. That would be awesome.
Where a hand or land class can help out in combat if they add new abilities to them.
Yeah.
I remember back when the game was first starting out, people were speculating that, like, some of the land classes might have a treasure hunter like ability to help get more to the enemy, or like your blacksmith or armorer may be able to damage the enemy's armor. I actually did that, thinking back in an 11 RP I did a while back. I actually had my character who has blacksmith level use that to focus on damaging an enemy's weapon to stop him from fighting. And so they can add things like that into 14.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I don't know, it'd be cool to see that. I don't, you know, who knows what they'll end
up
doing.
Kind of like they could play, like, support roles rather than just nothing.
Yeah. Instead of just summoning rocks.
Rather than nothing.
I have an axe on my back, but I will choose to summon rocks. If you can summon rocks, why can't you, like, summon grenades or something? You can just pull rocks out of nowhere.
Because they're obviously the same thing. Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm somewhere and I can just, like, have a rock appear in my hand to throw, why wouldn't you have something actually useful in your hand that you could throw? Like a, I don't know, like a ninja star. I don't know. Just a rock.
Like a Batman ninja star.
Yeah, man. Like, get a batarang. I want a discipline of the
Batarang
class that throws batarangs. Awesome.
Well, Pugilist does throw chakrams, which is kind of close.
But it's not a batarang.
No, yep. But they could throw batarangs if they added batarangs.
Anyway, we should probably get... We only did two achievements so far. Kalila got Pugilista 33 and got access to rank 40 leaves.
Hmm. Is that when that happens? 33?
I guess.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it seems to be you access the next ones when you're about 7 below.
Oh, okay.
Only with Battlecraft, though. Fieldcraft, you still gotta...
Yeah, it takes a little while.
Fieldcraft is totally random sometimes, though. I feel like sometimes you just randomly get a high-level one. Or sometimes you get a low-level one and it turns into a high-level one. Too.
Level 30 mining leaves are only in one of the towns. Level 40 mining leaves are only in
another
town.
Yeah, they rotate around, so... Lake O'Milk completed the archer class quest, so that's pretty cool. Ravani convinced a friend to start playing.
Yes.
Ooh. Nice.
I don't know how challenging that was or how hard that was, but that's, you know, getting people in the game right now. That qualifies as a
pretty... Email us a log of the conversation if you have it.
Like, I don't know. Will you buy it for me? Yeah, all right, I'll try it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be completely free.
It would probably went like this. It's going to be free for at least many more months. Oh, okay.
In fact, I'll pay you to play it.
Grog. It's an interesting name. Grog. Got all disciplines of war to 20 and completed the class quest for them.
Nice.
Busy guy there.
Are you a level 50?
I'm looking
50?
To finish that up by February.
Does that make you level 50? Oh, that's what I'm wondering.
Probably. I've got all my stuff up at 16 so far, and I'm already up at, what is it, 34?
Have fun getting guild marks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually managed to get a couple of them since I do level 20 Battlecraft leaves every once in a while.
Yeah.
But you get them for all the classes 20, you don't want.
Yeah. Well, I level up all of them, so I really can't say that there's any I don't want.
You know, I've been having issues with that because I've leveled and I don't want to get too ahead in my end game, but I'll do a leave for, you know, it'll be a job that I don't want the marks for. It's something I leveled for, you know, an ability or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And I start it, and then it'll say, you know, you'll obtain no marks if you do it on another class. And you're like, all right, whatever. And then, seconds after I start the leave, it says, like, you will receive less marks if
you
don't play
as
the correct job. But you still don't get any. What?
Yeah, because it depends, like, how much you go through the leave as a different job.
Oh, I see. They never tell you that, though.
Yeah, it doesn't say that. It just says
that
you
complete
it as a different
client. They're totally right when they need to explain things to people and tell people what's going on, because I had no idea. I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me.
But yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about, because the other day... I did a faction leave because it gave me an onion doublet, and it wanted pugilist, but I didn't have my pugilist gear on me. I was leveling conjurer, so
I didn't
get it.
Next up, we have Reshef got rank 20 class quests for armorer, archer, conjurer, and lancer. Was also able to spend some guild marks on that too, and I want to give a shout out to Reshef too. He posted up a comic on his blog, which is pretty funny.
Yes, that
the
is
nanny,
funny.
The nanny, like right behind him. It's like,
nanny,
hi.
That's how you smell.
That's how you smell. It's very creepy. I love it. Isaac got 20,000 kill count on their little like in-game little like achievement pop-up thing. 20,000. It's a lot. Also, soloed from 49 to 50. Took him 20 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I hope that wasn't all at once.
I hope it wasn't straight.
I hope it wasn't botanist. Can you just imagine? Oh, my God. Can you just imagine going brain dead, just, like, clicking on that little, like, little botany thing for 20 hours? It's like, click, click. Click and then repeat that.
You're getting closer to the mark.
20 hours with hopefully like an occasional break, get some food or something, you know, go outside. Arkham Native got their first discipline to 20, which was Conjurer, and then also got their Alchemist to 20. So that's pretty cool. And then last but not least, and I think Harvin, we read one of his last month, but this one I think deserves a mention, was in a 16-hour long party.
What?
Wow. I wanted to touch this because I don't think I've even been logged into the game for 16 hours straight, let alone even been
all of my parties just lagged.
I've had one party in this game, and it lasted maybe an hour. There's never parties.
Oh, really?
There's never parties looking when I log
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I can't find parties either.
I'll log in. I'll be like, you know what? I want to like spend some time on here. I want to get into a party. And
more people need to use that party recruiting feature because the way it looks like, it'd be very easy to just throw that up there and then wait for
I don't even know how to do that.
It's very simple, and no one uses it. And
I don't know how to do it.
It'd be nice if there was also a seeking party like in 11, and you can do it both ways. I feel like it might help. But
maybe.
But the seeking party, it feels to me like the people who want to seek party just want to be lazy about it and let the leader do all the work, which I always felt was kind of wrong.
The thing, I mean, I really like the party thing that they have because it feels, I mean, just looking at it, it looks, you know, good, but no one uses it. And I think that's the biggest thing for me right now is that there's very few people left in my link shell at this point. And there's never any parties seeking. So, you know, there's really not a lot keeping me in game when I, you know, log in to like, you know, grab event items or something like that.
But don't you have friends?
Yeah, but we all play on different servers.
That still play? Not many.
Well, maybe you should consider switching to Besaid. I'm just saying. Not saying anything.
I'd have
just
to start again. I don't roleplay though.
Some of my friends said though that they used to party a lot more, but recently it seems like the SP has just changed. Something's different in the system, and so people don't find it fun to party anymore.
Another thing, there now that just the word overhaul has come out, a lot of people are like, should I even bother doing anything else? What are they going to do? You know?
I think I would be so pissed if they actually deleted content that I've already...
We're just going to wipe all the classes and...
Get the hell out of here.
Everyone starts over.
But as a special bonus, all of you guys that got physical to rank 50, we'll start you off at like physical rank 5.
No, we'll start you off with a special item.
A special item that only works until rank 10.
Yeah, we'll give you something that looks like a dead peacock on your head. Enjoy.
Yep.
After rank 10, it's
useless. This is bizarre. I'll take us. That'll be it for player achievements. Everyone that got their achievement red, keep an eye out on your gifts. That'll take us into in-game. So I guess we'll do ladies first. Vicky, what have you been up to?
I mean, not a lot. Just guild grinding. I know a lot of people are like, you should level lots and lots of jobs. They're fun. I'm like, my main's Gladiator. I'm just grinding Gladiator. And once I get that up there, then I'll level other stuff. So
yeah, it's hard to even grind one job now.
Yeah.
Especially with the lack of parties.
I thought everyone was telling me like they thought my job levels would be so much higher, but I'm like just focusing on one right now. That's just one.
Well, then are you still playing 11?
Sometime. I mean, I logged on to see what the whole Abyssia NM was about.
You're not actively playing 11 though.
No, I'm not.
That's my biggest problem, is I'm trying to juggle the two, and it's just it's hard.
Same.
It's difficult, especially because I'm just like sick of Abyssia, and that's all you do in that game now.
That's very true. Yeah, it's not even Final Fantasy XI anymore. It's just Abyssia.
Yeah.
It's like when Wings of the Goddess came out. It's campaign featuring Final Fantasy XI.
So yeah, that's all I'm doing really.
Cool. Who wants to go next? I'll have you guys fight for it.
Sure. I'll go next.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've just mostly been grinding and working on my leaves. I'm finally going to get some stuff up to 20. I've decided to plop my ass down in Ulda, take the guilds that are focused in there, and get those up to 20 before I do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to finally do some class quests for once. I'd like to start seriously working on guild marks for once.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a pain that... You know, I may get the occasional level 20 local leave, but when the craft is level 10, you know, it's kind of difficult to finish it and get my marks.
Yeah, it is.
But, I've mostly been having fun trying to roleplay, but it's difficult as a freelancer. Every so often I run across people in town and have some
What's your
fun,
character but, name, by the way?
Doben Shehzad.
Oh, all right.
Mason's like, I saw you the other day. Me and my link show were making fun of your name. Kidding.
Yeah, we were saying, like, who is that creep in that corner?
That sounds familiar.
All right.
Well, yeah, all right. We should friend each other then. But
I keep running across you, and occasionally I'll toss a comment your way, but you never really respond. You're usually doing something with your mother, like kill people.
No, yeah, it's probably something. It's probably because I'm either juggling like tentels and. Or
he decided he wants to roleplay a deaf character that day.
Yeah, just for that specific instance, my character went deaf. No,
well, it's probably be like
because I'm super busy.
He was battling a Marlboro, and it hit him in the side of the head, and it clogged
it's
his ears.
It's usually like you're roleplaying with your other friends, and then, you know, I'll toss a comment, try to sneak my way into whatever's going on with you guys.
He's kind of like sidesteps, and he's like, hello.
Pretty much.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, all right, I don't want to get too roleplay on here, but how often does a stranger enter your conversation? You'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? Like, you know what I mean? Usually.
Exactly. That's why freelancing is so difficult.
Yeah, usually it's kind of like.
No option other than that.
Yeah, if you're hanging out at a bar and some guy just starts, you know, sits next to you and starts talking,
I know,
you're kind of like creeped
out. I was in 11 the other day, and some guy sent me a tell. He's like, hi. And I'm like, do I know you? He's like, no. I'm
not
like,
yet.
Okay. I just ignored him. I'm like, this is really weird.
I'm standing outside of your window.
It's very uncomfortable. But all right, Mason, how about you?
Besides role-playing, I've been leveling Marauder because I think it's fun. But Square Enix really needs to get on the problem of the issue where you can't fight multiple mobs, really. Like, whatever mob is red is the only one that's going to give you XP. So,
well,
just,
most of the times the mobs come in parties, so you usually have 2 to 3 mobs to attack.
But that's hard in Behest, though, when you're in a big group of people and everything dies so fast, you just want to split up and kill stuff. But or something aggroes, you know, you can't fight it.
Yeah, and just the fact that, like, well, that's also with Leaves and Behest and stuff, but when I'm just out there and, you know, with my axe in the middle of nowhere, just want to kill stuff, lay waste to the wilderness, I can't really play Marauder correctly, because to me, Marauder is all about, like, doing massive damage all around, and if I bring one squirrel, and then another one, and another one, I only get XP for one, because technically they all died at the same time, and it's like...
That's weird. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, they need to really fix that, because Marauder is basically screwed.
Yeah, and you know, other jobs too get,
the ones that do
like AOE. Lancer, yeah, AOE, or the piercing, kind of like through one mob thing, yeah.
Yeah,
I have no trouble just using them on the mob parties that attack me.
Yep, and besides that, just getting almost practically ready to launch my main storyline with my character, Oscar. So cool. That should be fun.
What did I do? I got the class quest for my gladiator. I've got the, I can't remember what it's called. It increases the length of your guard. By like 50%, which is really nice.
I
love the class quest was pretty funny. You get to it's in the Colosseum in Olda, where the guild is, and the Lalafell at the desk is talking about, you know, guts and glory and all this stuff. Like, you know, do you want to be in? And, you know, you can be like yes or no, and the no option is like no, and you need to calm down.
Yeah, that's funny.
I love that.
I love the Colosseum people. Actually, one of my favorite NPCs is one of the local Leaf guys up above the Colosseum, like Olwilsenig. I can't pronounce his name. Here we have this amazing match. We'll sell you a seat, but you need only the edge.
What did I do? I actually leveled Marauder a little bit too. I got that up to 10. And of course now I'm getting marks and stuff for it in my leaves that I don't want, which is awesome. Got my Lancer up to 22, so that's kind of where I'm standing right now. Other than that, not a whole lot this past month. Made another retainer. I have two retainers that are both named after Final Fantasy VIII characters now. I figured I did the one, I might as well do the second one.
Tell me one of them is Laguna.
No, they're both female.
That's okay. I've got Dante. That's where it's at.
Oh boy, I have a Renoa and a Quistis retainer.
Okay, Quistis was all right.
Better than Selfie, man. I'm never doing a Selfie. I was like. I don't think so.
Sophie is fun when you realize that she kills people on a daily basis and somehow manages to have...
No, but see, if 8 had come out a couple years later when they started voicing those games, Sophie would have been the, hi, I'm talking like that. Like, oh my god.
Those characters, it did not.
Those characters always just drive me nuts. Like, I don't care if they're like the coolest character ever. They just, if they talk like that, automatically they're out.
Look, yeah. You're talking to someone who likes cute characters in games, so I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So many characters, perfectly fine. Gotta turn off the volume.
Other than that, crafted a couple dream items from the Starlight event. Botched a couple, which was fun. Haven't done anything with the Kabutos yet. But
bunnies!
Bunnies.
I've actually been saving mine, both the Kabutos and the dream materials, until I get the crafts up to 50, and I'll see how high I can
age you. You just hold on to them for like 6 months, and then like start selling them for like a mil.
Yeah, well, but like, then they'll come out again next year.
They're out of season. They're out of season then, though. Like, so people see it like, oh,
high quality furs and cloths.
It's July. I wouldn't think. I want to do a Christmas in July setup. I need that. Oh, it's 2 mil.
I was actually thinking about that.
Christmas in July.
No, yeah, I was thinking of setting up a SantaCon, basically, where people would just dress up in Smilebringer suits in the middle of whatever city and just party.
It'd be kind of weird. Now I have a question. In the image that they came out with for the Starlight Celebration, a lot of the people wearing the dream gear that they showed weren't wearing pants.
Yeah,
it's because there's no pants for the outfit.
Doesn't matter. Did you need pants? Use pants? Did you unequip pants?
I wore a skirt, so you couldn't really. There was no pants I could find that matched, so I wore a skirt, you didn't tell.
You could wear those red pants, whatever.
Yeah, they have like,
but I'm a girl, so that might be a little different.
Red cotton tights would probably go well with it.
No. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like the red and the whites are not as red or as white as the dream clothes.
No, they're not.
It's like the red is a little more brown and the white is a little more cream. So it's like nothing matches.
11.
Yeah. But that was it for me.
Are you were you trying to complain people not wearing pants?
No, I was just curious, like why, you know, I don't know. It just seems weird. It's like, okay, the gear for like the winter holiday event and they show people not wearing pants with it. Like okay,
it's all the rage now.
Is it just because they just want to show off the set or are they like,
don't question a good thing,
celebrating a little too much? I don't know what the deal is.
That's how the body gives you gloves to go with it. The gloves from the body.
Yeah,
You think the shoes would give you pants
to go with the shoes?
I don't know.
Oh,
reminds me though the old Cartoon Network commercial they had with the Legion of Doom, where they're having their meeting and Solomon Grundy goes, Solomon Grundy want pants too. Brainiac stands up because he's got like that Speedo, that you know, superhero villain like Speedo thing. He's like, I just want some pants.
I think I vaguely remember that.
There were some good commercials back then, but that's all it. All that I did. We don't have any email.
Yeah, this month.
This whole month,
come on, Bobos.
No one sent us an email. Oh. Like remotely plausible, got a couple emails, and we got nothing.
Well, that's because we rule, but you know, he can't stop us. He can't stop us. But
I feel that on occasion, I also as well do rule. So need some emails for this show.
I agree.
So
I'll write you something.
You don't know. You can't do that. That doesn't count.
Just like a pity email.
Dear Fusion X, here's an email for you to read. Love.
Here's what I did today. I woke up, had some coffee.
Answered all my emails.
My achievement of the day. Learned a word in Spanish.
Fusion, I forwarded you a remotely plausible email. If you want to answer it, feel free.
Yeah, feel free to use... we'll just give you one of ours.
Where Angela sent like 10 emails to it.
Yeah, we didn't have any emails, so she kept spamming the inbox with emails during the show.
God. That was great.
It was ridiculous. So that'll do it. Does anybody else have anything else they want to throw in here before we close this out?
More emails.
Yeah, more emails, please.
Come on, step up, Bobos.
Wow,
they're busy translating. Did you see the post? They're translating all the posts now on the Lodestone, the Oboes.
Yeah, they are.
I like how you changed it from Monkey's Elbows out. That's very game appropriate of you, Mason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Spent many a night thinking about it.
You had to, like, program your brain to say it. All right. 8th Rate Radio is part of the 8th Rate Radio Network. To stay up to date with all of our shows, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/8thrate_radio. You can also email us all of your questions and comments at podcast@orzapedia.com. Please do. You can also leave feedback in our forums. And, of course, make sure to leave us some reviews on the iTunes Music Store to let everybody know what you think of the show. I'm Fusion X. Thanks to Mason, Earthdigger, and Vicky for joining me. We'll see you next month. See you.